The boys are back. Had some time off. We went to Florida. Been busy running around, both of us. But Jack and Trey are back. I'm Jack Heinrich. He's Trey Heinrich. This is Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up. Wherever you want to get your favorite podcast, we'll be here for you. So, Trey, gloomy day, but it's a good day. We got baseball on the TV here. I feel like we're in a radio station.
It is great to have baseball back. We didn't have that the last time we were recording, so it is really nice to have that back.
Yeah, look at you. Look at you tying that in. It is nice. We have some spring training ball between the Twins and the Rays. We'll get into more of the Twins moves and more moves in baseball and how that affects the Cubs and the White Sox here in Chicago. But we are going to start with the Chicago Bulls. And first couple times we did this podcast, we were very complimentary of the Bulls.
Optimistic.
That's another good word. Thinking they need more respect and need to be talked about more. But I really, the way they're playing right now, they don't really garner that good attention.
They don't. It's been frustrating these last few weeks. It's just, I think the most frustrating part for me is it seems like even a greater extent than it was earlier in the year is when their shots aren't falling in the first half, the effort on defense goes down a lot, and then 10-point deficits turn into 20, 25 really fast, and they're just getting blown out by these top teams.
Yeah, top teams, top three-seeded teams in each conference. The Bulls are 0-16. A lot of those games have been blowouts. Yeah, I mean, you could just kind of tell on Tuesday, Trey, you were in Milwaukee. 0-2 in Milwaukee for you.
That's tough.
Cubs will have to try to get it back. But when you're watching that game, for me, you can just kind of tell the difference between a team that's going to be in the playoffs and the Bulls, a good team, solid team for much of the year. But then you're seeing the difference between a title contender in Milwaukee, a team that won the championship last year. You could just see the sizable difference in how they played, and I mean, pretty quickly you could tell the Bulls lost control of that game. It was tied at 20, gave up 13 a run, and pretty much after that you could see that the game was over, and it sucks when that happens, and they haven't been able to beat one of those good teams this year. And before, I think we both kind of were like, well, they weren't healthy, you know, and they played them at some tough times when they're dealing COVID with those top teams, and Zach getting hurt against the Warriors, and they weren't healthy. And me and you kept kind of saying, like, well, when they get healthy, they'll be fine. And they're pretty much healthy besides Lonzo, and they're still getting
blown out. He's probably not even coming back anyways, at least in the regular season. So
yeah, that was bad injury news with his knee. It's unfortunate because he brings so much to this team, but when you're looking at that Milwaukee game, they lose by almost 30, and they're down by 30 for some of that game. I don't think they're Alonzo Ball playing away from winning that game.
No, they're not. He would help a lot on defense, but I don't think it's like Lonzo comes back, they're a title contender. I mean, you still have like the big three. And in the NBA, when you have your big three, you just got to be able to win with injuries.
Exactly. And I was gonna say, like, the big three for the Bulls combined for like 60 points with Vooch, DeMar, and Zach, and they still lost by like 25. So It's tough when that happens, and part of it is they stopped playing defense. They were a good defensive team at the beginning of the year, and then they lost a bunch of their defensive guys, like Javonte Green's missed time. Iowa's on COVID. We know Caruso's been battling COVID and injuries all year. Alonzo battling the injuries now. So
Patrick Williams, too.
Patrick Williams. He was getting abused by Giannis.
Yeah, he was. Welcome, he had a couple good ones. He had a couple, like, good possessions in the first quarter. Then after that, it was just he was toast.
And I'm not trying to rip on Pat Williams. I mean, everybody gets abused by Giannis. But you're just hoping he comes back because he's a big guy and could maybe slow him down, but it doesn't seem like anybody's slowing down Giannis on the Bulls roster. And it's just the way they play defense is, it's just with Vooch trying to guard the pick and roll, they struggle. Zach, love Zach, good player, pretty decent on the ball, but when he's off the ball, he gets his brains backdoored out a lot.
Yeah.
Like those guys just shoot back, and they backdoor him, and he's trying, and that's the thing you like from your star player. He's trying so hard on defense, but he gets backdoored a lot. Sometimes you're looking at him like, where are you going on these on these screens or the rotations. Yeah. And and it's good that he's trying, but with the way the Bulls are constructed, especially with Vooch on that back end, struggling as like a rim protector, and he's not very good in the pick and roll. It's hard to be out there when it's him, Zach, and DeMar, and then you have to go Javante's undersized guarding a power forward, and then Caruso, I mean, is doing his thing.
He's undersized, too, for what they have him do. And I think the hardest part now is Io, I feel like, might have been hitting a rookie wall now, and Kobe's cold, and when he's cold, he's such a negative player because he can't play defense. And then the frustrating part I have with Zach and DeMar is it seems like when they don't get the fouls called, they like to complain, and then they lag back on defense, and then it automatically turns into, like, a 4 or 5 point swing. So it's a free basket on the other end.
Yeah, that's something Joe Calley, who covers the Bulls, he always says, like, stop complaining. It's playoff time. Go. Like, a lot of people don't like the way Joe Calley is, but, I mean, one thing about him is he kind of shoots it straight, and he's, like, not – trying to not say like other reporters give a hometown bias, but they're normally like, oh, well, the Bulls are doing this and that. He's just kind of straight, like, they're whining, they need to just play. And he said that multiple times,
even when they were good too, like when they were playing well and they were the one seed, he was saying it.
Yeah, multiple. And that's a great point to bring up, because when we were watching the game on Thursday, the Bulls just stopped going to the rim. And you can't stop going to the rim and settling for jump shots, because they were struggling to have those fall. And that's when the game got out of hand, is when they stopped going to the rim because they weren't getting calls. And like you said, they started complaining and not running back on defense. Giannis got called for an offensive foul, and he was mad yelling at the ref. But after he started yelling at the ref and he saw the ball was getting in, he totally sprint lined and beelined it back on defense.
He did. He was flying.
He turned around and was ready, and sometimes, like, DeMar and Zach start yelling at the ref, and that's just something you got to work on. I mean, and since the All-Star break, the Bulls' free throw numbers disparity has just been outrageous. Some of it's officiating, but some of it is them not going to the rim. So I understand their frustration, but you have to keep attacking, and that's what Stacey King was saying.
And, like, DeMar, he didn't have any free throws, and that was the first time all year in that game. And that was a huge thing for him, because he gets to the line, gets a few to go in, and then his mid-range is just automatic after that.
Yeah, and he had a tough shooting night, and you're starting to see him. He was on that hot tear the last time we recorded, and now he's kind of, like, come back to being human, and that's kind of what you expect. It's like the ebbs and the flows of the season. You go up and down. He had a really good shooting game against Toronto on Monday. That was a good win, but He was not efficient on Tuesday against the Bucks, and they need him to be hitting those shots, because it's really just Zach or him shooting the way their offense is right now. Not a lot of movement going. And to me, it seems like they run their stuff early and the ball's popping, and then they get to that second half. And if you're winning in the fourth quarter, you can kind of go more ISO with DeMar and Zach because they've been so clutch. But when you're losing, you go to that. That's when they tend to struggle.
Yeah, they do. It's tough. It looks great when DeMar's making it, but when he's not, it just gets really ugly. And the thing I'm worried about a little bit is I heard Caruso after the game in Milwaukee was talking about how the game was officiated today like a playoff game would, in the sense that they're just letting them play. And if that's the case and DeMar can't get to the line as much, they're going to be in big trouble in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think DeMar will still be able to get to the line, but, I mean, just with everybody else and the way that they're complaining, like, not going to the rim and complaining, because DeMar's so good at, like, that pump fake, he's probably bound to get a couple of those calls.
Yeah, he'll get a couple. It just might not be as much as we're used to.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Caruso, DeMar, and Tristan Thompson are really the only guys that had substantial playing time in a playoff series on this Bulls roster. So, I mean, the season's not over. We're not trying to be Debbie Downers. I mean, when we look at this thing, overall, even if they lose in the first round, if it's Boston or Milwaukee, looking like it'll be, or maybe Philly, that those are just all nightmare matchups.
Boston, I mean, Boston's better.
Yeah, Boston's better, but Jason Tatum's playing really, really good right now, and they're one of the hotter teams in the NBA. But and they lose in the first round, I think you still got to look at this season as a success overall, because, I mean, what was it, Monday they won and they clinched their first winning season since the three alphas. So it shows you how far they've come. I mean, DeMar's had a really special year, and Zach, we've seen Zach, how he can play with a superstar. He's had a great year, and I know we're ripping them a little bit, but it doesn't take away from what they've done. It's just when you get to this level, you gotta do more and elevate your team. And I think that injury is really hurting Zach with his knee, and I will see how that gets fixed in the offseason. But I think that's hurting him more than he's letting on, and I give him props for playing because some guys would just pack it in, and he wants to play in the playoffs. He knows that's something on his reputation. He's never played in a playoff game, and I like that he's laying it out there, and it should inspire the guys. If he's out there 70% on that knee, giving it what he's got, it should inspire him.
It's just a little bit disappointing when we were kind of feeling like maybe this team was the Suns of last year, how they were the one seed for, what, like 50, 60 games, and now it's falling apart, but it would still be a positive. I think the one place I would just worry about is how do you get to the next level? Because the NBA is very easy to be a mediocre team in the playoffs, but getting that elite player is what's really hard. I trust AK that he can find that, but it's going to be a lot of work, I think.
Yeah, and they're going to be salary cap strapped for a little bit, especially if Zach gets the max, which I would still give Zach the max. He's just so special on that offensive end, and his willingness to be a better defender, I think he's definitely worthy of it, even for some of the defensive problems he has. But you're looking at this current road trip tonight, recording this on Thursday. They're in New Orleans. Then they go to Cleveland. That's going to be a big game. Cleveland's one game behind the Bulls. I think the Bulls are up 2-1 in the season series. It's the last game.
Yeah, that's
right.
They
go at New York, at Washington, before they host the Clippers. And then they have a brutal little homestand there. I think they play Miami. Milwaukee again. And then
I know they play the Hornets,
and the Celtics. And then they finish in Minnesota. Minnesota's like 10 games over 500. They're a good team.
They are. But I don't even know, like, is that game really going to matter? Is anyone really going to play in that game if there's nothing to play for?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So, Bulls, just going forward, you got to look at taking 3 out of 4, especially when you're looking at New Orleans, New York, and Washington. Those are teams not in the playoff race. New Orleans is in the playoff race for the West, but the West has kind of turned into the East of the last couple years. So they're like 10 games under 500.
Yeah. But they're playing a little bit better, I heard. And they're getting Nance back tonight,
too. Got Larry Nance back. I almost said Pete Nance because of Northwestern, but they got Larry Nance back. And CJ McCollum's been really good for them since the trade from Portland. So they got to take 3 out of 4 there. They beat Cleveland last time they played them, so hopefully they can take care of business tonight. DeMar DeRozan is out with a left adductor injury, kind of more general soreness. Zach LaVine is going to play. But the big thing is now is to stay out of the play-in and try to keep that fifth seed. I think that's pretty much where they're going to be locked in. I think they're a couple games back of the 4 seed.
Yeah, they got to stay in that 4-5 matchup because I want nothing of Miami, Philly, or Milwaukee in the first round. I want to at least have a chance. Like, I think the Celtics, if we played them, it could probably be a 6 or 7 game series either way.
Right.
But I just want to have a chance because I don't think we have a chance against those other teams.
Yeah, you're looking at the East. Miami has a 1.5-game lead over Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Boston. Philly's 2, Milwaukee's 3, Boston's 4. Bulls are 4.5 back, so they're 3. They're pretty much locked in there. 5 seed or lower. They're 1 game up on Cleveland, and they are 2 games up on Toronto for the 7 seed. That's probably more like 3 games with a tiebreaker. So they're looking pretty good of staying out of there. But, I mean, if they hit a major skid, Toronto's been playing good basketball. I know the Bulls just beat them. But Toronto, they got some dudes on that team. They got some length, Scotty Barnes, Siakam, Fred VanVleet. So they got some good got some good guys. And right now they're trying to get their way out of there and try to switch with Cleveland. Because waiting in the 8th seed, it could be the Brooklyn Nets. So
I wouldn't even count them out either of making a jump into the top 6 because they got Kyrie back as a full time player.
That's right.
I think he dropped like 40-something points yesterday too. If I remember right,
every time he plays, he's dropping 40. I mean, the dude's been a part time hooper this year, and he's been hooping.
Those teams got to be pissed in the top 3 that they're gonna have to play them in the first round.
It's gonna be a dogfight. Lots to watch for, so we want to know what you guys think of the Bulls. Do you consider this season a success? Let us know on Twitter, at JackConnick22. And then, do you remember your Twitter this time?
think it's at TreyH99.
I think you're right. So let us know there. But yeah, we'll be following the Bulls in the playoffs. And I mean, I'm going to be excited for playoff basketball. I think we're going to try to go to a game because the playoff games are fun in Chicago. Anywhere, really.
Yeah.
Any of the sports teams, they're really fun. So yeah, that hopefully the Bulls can get it going and just start playing some better basketball. I mean, I have liked what I've seen with Caruso back in there. It's just those top teams, that's kind of what you measure yourself against. So,
and they just have a freak of nature on each of those teams that the Bulls don't.
That's right. So Miami's just a team that you look at, just what you want your organization to look like. They find guys.
Except for yesterday with Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah, they did have that little incident. But those don't happen that much. A little exchange of words with Udonis Haslam. But, I mean, you got Max Strus was with the Bulls on a two-way. Shout out to DePaul. DePaul's very own Bulls legend.
He's a Bulls legend.
Tears his ACL with the Windy City Bulls. And then Miami signs him, and now he's a rotation player.
It's crazy. And now don't they have Oladipo back too?
They do.
Like Jimmy, Bam, all those guys, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah,
so that'd be a great storyline series for the Bulls and Heat.
Yeah, it'd be a terrible matchup for the Bulls.
It would be
a great storyline matchup for the Heat. And then you're just looking at Giannis and Joel Embiid. Those guys are just different. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting. The East is really, really good, and we'll probably look ahead to more what the Bulls have to do once the season ends and how they can compete. Pipe dream is Nikola Jokic doesn't sign an extension, and maybe AK can work his magic.
Because he expires the same year as Vooch, so just be a simple swap.
Simple swap.
Easier said than done.
Great swap. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, still a lot to be proud of for this Bulls team with what Zach DeMar and the boys have done this year. But now it's time to switch gears a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of fun, Trey. This is something I used to do on my show when it was back at the school, and I thought about bringing it back. So we're going to bring it back. So if you've been with me since the beginning, you'll remember this segment very well.
Whose stock's rising? Whose stock is falling? From the last week in sports, it's time for Stock Up and Stock Down on Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up.
That is right. It is time for Stock Up and Stock Down. So just a refresher, it's been a while since I have done this, and Trey's new to this as well. But from looking like we're going to pick two or three items, I guess you could say, in sports. Could be team, could be a player, could really be anything you want. I was telling Trey the one rule is you just got to be able to defend it, explain it. So you pick two or three stock ups and two or three stock downs where they're trending the last little week in sports or so. So I'll kick it off here. My first stock up, and I don't like saying this as a Northwestern guy, but Michigan basketball, I didn't think they were going to win the first round. I didn't realize I didn't realize Colorado State was that underseeded or overseeded.
And that was the opener of the tournament, too, on Thursday.
Opener of the tournament. Me and you both went 0-2 to start.
Yeah, that was a rough start.
That was just kind of the start of our brackets. Me and Trey both had the same Final Four with Gonzaga and Arizona still going. But then we drank the Iowa Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and I hate them. And it's just like the one time you want them to win, it's there they go.
And then Kentucky. I mean, the St. Peter's. Peter's, yeah. Sorry, my brain stopped working there. It's been a long week. They upset Kentucky, so that was the other team we had in there. But, you know, that's kind of what happens with the tournament. You turn to gambling when after that happens. But Michigan basketball, the upset, and then they beat Tennessee, and I thought Tennessee was a team that could make a run. So this is their fifth straight Sweet 16 appearance. They've made it in the last five tournaments, 17, 18, 19, no tournament in 20, 21, and 22. So I'm giving props to Juwan Howard and his Michigan Wolverines for making it to our Sweet 16. I do think it ends against Villanova, but clearly with the way my bracket is, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Trey, what's your first one?
My first one is ACC basketball, usually looked at as one of the best power conferences in college basketball, but this year it was looked at as a down year for them. They had five teams in the tournament, which seems kind of low. Their only team out of the five, Virginia Tech, lost in the first round by eight to Texas. But the other four all made a run. Duke, it wasn't really that pretty, but they beat Cal State Fullerton and Michigan State. And now they're going to play a really good Texas Tech team, which that should be a pretty good game. And then UNC, like doubled up Marquette, I think, in the first round. They destroyed them.
That was a beatdown.
And then they were doing the same to Baylor. And then I think his name's Brady Manick, right? The guy in UNC. He got tossed. The whole momentum shifted. Love got fouled out. It went to overtime. And then UNC pulled it out. And that was a really big upset. I wasn't a huge fan of Baylor this year, but UNC pulled it out. And then Miami, I was pretty surprised by them too. USC, I thought, was going to beat them. They got past them in the 7-10, and then they defeated Auburn, which was kind of a surprising one for me.
That was
And then one more is Notre Dame. They won in the first four against Rutgers, which I believe was in overtime. Then they beat Alabama, a really solid SEC team, and then they took Texas Tech down to the wire, losing by six, which I mentioned before is a very good team. They're kind of like the Pac-12 of the last tournament.
Good comp. Good comp. Yeah, the ACC was trash this year. And they showed up in March. I thought Virginia Tech was going to make a run there to Sweet 16.
Yeah, I had them winning a game too.
I think they would have played Purdue, right?
Yeah, they would have played Purdue.
Yeah. I'm also a hater of Purdue, but they got through. And now they play St. Peter's, so might get to the Elite Eight. So we'll see. Jaden Ivey's cold, though.
He is. Not against the Cats, but.
Yeah, hey, just remember, Cats held them to 2-12. We lost the game. Doesn't matter. Held them to 2-12. Top five pick. All right, moving on. Next stock up for Jack is the Boston Celtics. We were just talking about them. These guys have been on a tear, and this is why I'm scared of the Bulls playing them, because Jason Tatum is one of those guys in the league that can put a team on his back and carry you to a couple rounds through the playoffs. And he's playing really well right now. They still have Jaylen Brown. Robert Williams has really turned into a nice center. They started the season 23-24. Talks about blowing up with Brown and Tatum, maybe training one of them. Since then, they're 23-4. 23-4 since then. They've passed up the Bulls. They're the 4 seed, tied for the 2nd seed. And the Celtics are looking really, really scary right now. And, yeah, so stock up to the Boston Celtics.
My second stock up is the Toronto Blue Jays. They made a really good trade this week with Matt Olson from the A's. I don't even think they gave up that high of a prospect, and then they got him 2 more years of, I think it's for $25 million total from Jeff Passan instead of arbitration. But I just wanted to highlight them because I think there's a chance that they might be the best team in the AL with the rotation of Barrios, Gausman, Ryu, Manoa, Kikuchi, and then Nate Pearson out of the bullpen.
Ooh.
That's nasty.
Nate Pearson throws like 103 miles an hour.
And today they made an interesting trade. It was Grichik for Tapia. Grichik's contract was really bad because he had like a 280 on base, I think I saw. I would love to see them go get Michael Conforto to make that lineup even deeper. But that team is going to be really nasty this year.
That team, that's going to be a fun team to watch.
And Vlad lost weight too.
Vlad lost 20 pounds. So guy hit like 45 home runs last year and hit like 350, and
and now they don't even have to worry about his defense because of Matt Chapman,
and they're sticking him at first. I mean, I love what the Blue Jays are doing. I love those jerseys they switched back to, like the older ones with the light blue in the past decade, or they do have those light blue road jerseys and then the blue alternate tops. I mean, they got a lot of fun guys on that team as well with Bo Bichette and Vladdy. Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, and then they're going for it now, getting Kikuchi.
You got to respect it.
I mean, they lose Robbie Ray and won the Cy Young last year, and they get Kikuchi and
Gausman too.
And Gausman,
and then
really
Manoa is going to take a step this year, I would say.
That's right. Jack has him on his fantasy team, so that was a good pickup.
And
by
Ryu's always solid. So
by me, yeah. So yeah, I mean, got a good rotation, maybe like a bullpen arm or two, and if they get Conforto, that's nasty. Remember for like 20 minutes last year, they signed Brantley before he went back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
they got Springer, and people forget that Springer is still
Springer
there, too.
I forgot he was
and
there.
And that Teoscar Hernandez is there,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, he was an all-star. I mean, they're loaded. I mean, they got some bats, and that's a team you want to watch. It's like the lockout and stuff, or you're losing a little bit of your baseball. That's going to be a fun team to watch. That's
and
good.
Back in Toronto, too, will help them a lot.
Good pick. Good pick there. So we're going to trend now to the unfortunate part, the stock down. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs making their blockbuster trade for Tyreek Hill. I get they didn't want to pay him, but they did get a lot for him, so we'll kind of see how that goes. But I always kind of live by the adage, draft picks are cool until they become names, you know, until You know, draft kicks are cool until they become Marcus Teague for the Bulls, you know, one of those kind of things. Or you're picking James Wiseman in front of LaMelo Ball the way he's hooping now. That's so tough.
And Halliburton, if you will, too.
Yeah, yeah. So so we'll see what they can do with that. But really why I don't like this move is Kansas City gets knocked out by the Bengals, and then their whole division, the AFC West, is making upgrades, and they decide to get rid of their best receiver. I know they still got Kelce, but and then Byron Pringle's on the Bears now. Bear down,
He's good. He can run. He can fly.
Yeah. So the Bears making a move there to get Byron Pringle, and so we'll see how that works out. But I mean, they still got Kelce and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But like, I heard somebody on the radio yesterday listing off the receivers, and I'm like, these sound like Madden made up guys. Like, I've never heard of them. And like Russ is going to Denver, Devontae Adams is going to Vegas, and then Khalil Mack, the Bears traded Khalil Mack to LA. I mean, it's probably the right move for the Bears to do that and get some draft picks and clear up the salary cap for GM Ryan Poles. But I mean, everybody's making additions, and they signed Juju, and they would have Juju and Tyreek, and then they get rid of Tyreek.
And it's like, I think they want Valdez Scantling, but like, that's nowhere near a replacement. They're going to have to be really high on a guy in the draft, and they better hit on that, or else it's going to look really bad.
And there are some interesting draft names out there, but that's what they got. So that's my first stock down is the Chiefs. Don't really know why they're getting rid of Tyreek Hill.
My first stock down, I'm going to swing it back to baseball with the ghost runner on second and extra innings.
I hate that.
See, I'm not as much of a hater as most. I don't like it necessarily, but I just see this as another missed opportunity by baseball to grow the game, because I agree we need to limit 5-hour games and 12 inning plus games, because it just is not good for pitcher health and stuff. But no one's going to tune in the MLB tonight when like the Orioles and the Blue Jays are in extra innings just because a runner's on second. They need to follow the model that the NHL did with the shootout in overtime. Make it more entertaining. I think the one idea that makes the most sense is being able to reset your lineup.
Love that.
Because for an example, Mike Trout could hit a homer in the ninth to tie the game for the Angels, and then you could start the 10th with Trout, Ohtani, and Rendon, and people would tune into that. It could be against the same pitcher, too, potentially.
When you're watching me and you, not the biggest hockey guys, you know, we follow the Hawks and all that a little bit, but when you got some overtime hockey, we're watching the overtime hockey.
It's entertaining. You go from 3-on-3, back and forth. The ice is wide open, and then a shootout's a shootout. That's pretty electric.
And the thing is, in the playoffs, I think they just go back to normal overtime.
I think it's just first one to score just wins.
Well, that's how it is in general, but I think they go back to
six on six.
Yeah, they have like the normal rules, but in the other thing. But I love that, because in football, for the most part, I know we had the overtime, whatever, with Josh Allen.
And college football is better, but you couldn't do that in the NFL, I noticed. But
NBA, and in football, your best player's going to get it. And in hockey, your best player's like...
And it's supposed to be the most exciting time of the game, and people are just like, if no one scores for like three straight innings, it's like, what are we doing here?
It's a good point. I mean, resetting the lineup, it's like those guys get the ball at the end of the game, get the puck at the end of the game.
You can see the elite closers versus the top three in the order, like guaranteed.
You get that one reset, and it's just like, boom. Who the Cubs want up? Frank Schwendel.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
who they want to start it off with, you know? Or if you're the White Sox, you want to start that back at the top with Tim Anderson and let that thing go. Or maybe you're looking at Abreu, you know. I agree with you that they missed an opportunity, but I don't like that rule. It's stupid because it neutralizes the bullpen. You're losing games on broken bad hits. I know it's not in the playoffs, but I don't know. I think it's dumb.
It is. It's just, I get because they want to end the game sooner. It's just they need to make it a more fun. And I know the purists probably aren't going to like it, and the hockey purists didn't like it, but it's growing the game. So that's what they got to look into more. So
yeah, I'm starting to be more open to growing stuff in the game. Speaking of growing in the game, the Maple Leafs, Toronto Maple Leafs, did you see the collab with Justin Bieber to make jerseys?
No.
So they collab with Justin Bieber to make jerseys. I know like people don't really know much about hockey, but I was producing the Hawks game yesterday, so like I saw like this. They made Justin Bieber jerseys, and they were reversible, and they wore them. It was like an alternate.
Interesting.
And they're like reversible jerseys. It's an interesting concept.
It
Justin
is.
Bieber's from Canada, so like he must be a big Maple Leafs guy because he was there.
Yeah. I mean, it helps grow the game with those jerseys. I mean, baseball does it too a little bit, but it's like,
well, I mean, those City Edition jerseys for the Cubs sucked last year.
Yeah, they did.
So,
well, and they do like the Players Weekend or whatever. But
well, they need to start going back to better Players Weekend jerseys instead of the white and black they did.
Yeah, those you couldn't
year.
Even see, like on the white ones, you couldn't even see whose name was on it.
Right. See, you see that you're just seeing all the dumb. We're going to get riled up here, all the dumb stuff. All right, my last stock down, I'm going to go with Chicago baseball arbitration. The big ones, Wilson Contreras and the Cubs, are like a little over $1 million apart. I think the Cubs should extend Contreras. I've always said this, me and you've been big Willie guys, especially with the Miguel Amaya. There's one of their higher prospects for catchers. He's the highest one at AAA. He's having Tommy John this year. So they don't really – they have Yan Gomes, but, like, what's the future? That's kind of what you're wondering
and
here.
And he's like a defensive catcher anyways, Amaya. That's what he can't hit like Contreras at all.
That's what he's turning into. And with the DH, I think a contract is beneficial for Contreras because he can age well with the DH. So, and then it sounds like he's like, I'm not going to talk about it during the season. He's like, I like being here, but you know, he's got to do what you got to do. Then going to the South side, Lucas Giolito had like a $50,000, difference.
Yeah. Cause I saw it was like, they were 50,000 apart and the White Sox wouldn't budge. And then Giolito's like, screw this. I'm just going to put this number in for arbitration. You could put whatever you want. It's like, what is everyone doing here? It's like, why don't you just pay the guy that wants to be a White Sox?
I mean,
it's not even that much money at all.
I mean, yeah, it's not my money. Yeah, it says they're going to arbitration. Giolito filed at 7.5, and the White Sox countered 7.3. Like, what's the point there? And he's been the guy that he was the worst pitcher in baseball, and then the next year he almost wins a Cy Young. And he was up and down last year, but, I mean, he's still one of your better pitchers. And he loves being here.
Yeah, he wants to be there forever.
Yeah. So I don't really know what you're doing. But, yeah, Chicago baseball arbitration. Yeah, that's my stock down, my final stock down.
My final stock down is Jack's Betts.
Okay.
And
okay.
He always
that's
texted.
That's a low blow.
He texted the group chat. He's like, where am I going to lose here or whatever? And it's always like a Vooch 13-plus rebounds or like an IO points, rebounds, and assist bet. And usually I'm right.
Okay, first of all, I'm giving you the middle finger. Second of all, that's a low blow. I asked you to come on here, and you're coming after me like that. So that's some BS. Yes, I'm in a rut. I did get the Blackhawks -1.5 yesterday, so I'm feeling good. We got a little something brewing up for this weekend, so it's my time. It's time to turn around the
boys.
You
got to start betting the new guy on the Hawks. What's his name? The one that's got like 3 points?
Oh, Taylor Radish?
Yeah, you got to bet on him.
Yeah, Taylor Radish is off to a hot start for the Hawks. But yeah, me and the boys, we did some group bettings on the tournament last week. Didn't go well.
Montana State.
Yep. That wasn't my pick. He'll remain nameless, but my pick didn't hit either, so that's all we're going to say. But we got a little momentum. We bet Gonzaga when they're down at halftime. We got that one. Did a little boost with St. Peter's. It's time for Jack to get hot, all right?
You're going to bet on St. Peter's again?
No, but we'll see. But, yeah, you're a jerk. Anyways, we're going to transition here to baseball. We kind of got into some baseball talk. Love the stock up, stock down. Touched a lot of areas there. That was good. But the baseball talk, I mean, A lot of movement. The big one, obviously, is Carlos Correa going to the Twins for some reason. No idea what the Twins are doing. Traded for Sonny Gray. They traded Josh Donaldson away and got they got Urshela and Sanchez.
Yes.
So I don't really know what they're doing.
I don't either. I think they might just be like, all right, let's just wing it and see if we can compete in the first half. And then I think Correa's gone next year anyway, so they might just trade him.
He can opt out.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, and he will. Probably.
So this is the part I want to get to because this affects both the Cubs and the White Sox. 3 years, 80-ish. Wait, what was it? 3 years? How much?
I think it was 3 years, like 100 something. He makes like 35 a year.
35. That's right. 35 a year. It's like 35.1.
Probably like 115-ish, I think.
35. It's like 35.1. I'm looking it up right now. But because getting him to be 35.1, it made him the highest AAV, like the annual value.
Yeah, I think he barely beat Rendon on that.
105.3. Must have got confused with like Stroman's because Stroman's is like 3 for 80. Anyways, Stroman was recruiting Correa. A lot of people wanted Correa, and then the Cubs signed Allerton Simmons. No idea why. I think, with all due respectfully, I could hit better than him. He's a great fielder. Today, for some reason, he's playing DH on spring training lineups. $4 million for maybe a backup. I don't know. I mean, I feel like Nico's probably, and they signed VR. We like VR.
VR is going to platoon with Wisdom, which I think is a great move because he's, VR's got some pop now out of the left side, which the Cubs need.
Switch hitter. Cubs do need lefties. But yeah, just going back to the Correa, we thought we were getting Correa. They didn't get him. I don't know why they wouldn't do that deal.
This is kind of where I differ a little bit because let's say they do sign him. The part that sucks is they lose their like second round pick, which is high, and like $20 million in like international signing or something like that. I don't know what number it is. It's high. And I don't know, would you want to give that up for a year of Correa when he might leave when the Cubs probably wouldn't win the division anyways with him? That's kind of my thing's like, would you give up James Triantos for 1 year of Correa? That's kind of the comp I would say.
No, I wouldn't because I like that guy. But with Correa, I remember maybe he had changed after lockout, but he said he wasn't scared of rebuild. So why wouldn't you give him like a lot of money?
Oh no, I would give him not this specific contract. I was all for giving him like the big massive like $203 million or $300 million deal.
Yeah, and like Tom Rickards was saying, like they're gonna have biblical losses, and then he's out there going to buy Chelsea right now, trying to buy Chelsea for $4 billion.
I did see though that it's like in his defense, even though I'm not the biggest Ricketts guy, it's like a big group of them and they got like these like super rich guys from Illinois doing it with them, so I don't think it's completely the Ricketts, but still it's still not good optics.
He's like the head of it. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, it's for the Cubs perspective, it's like you kind of wanted them in the mix and see what they could do, like a new face of the franchise. You sign Stroman. You're kind of confused of where their direction's going because Stroman's only a 3-year deal, and I think he has an opt-out. So you're kind of wondering where he's going. But, I mean, watching Stroman every fifth day is going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. And I don't think you can get rid of the Correa dream. I think it could still happen next offseason. I really don't see him going back to Minnesota, so he's going to be out there again.
Yeah, so I think from the White Sox perspective, I mean – you're looking for them to maybe be in the mix like this. They do have a top five payroll. They got like almost 100 more, like I think 80 more million more than the Cubs, which just never happens.
No.
I
mean, as they should, because it's their like big window.
Yes. I think the window's actually going to start shrinking. I can get to that in a second. Because Correa's going to the Twins, now the White Sox have to face him like 18 times a year. And he had a big, he's like a big time player. He just beat him in the playoffs.
Like this might be like their year because the Tigers are probably a year away. They're a year away, probably.
Oh, damn, they're coming.
And then the Royals, their pitching's coming, too, and Bobby Witt's coming.
Exactly.
And then the Guardians, I guess is what they're called now, is they always have the pitching. They need to get hitting, but they'll always have the pitching, which will be annoying.
The thing is, the AL Central is trying to creep up now to the White Sox, and they might have to accelerate it a little bit, which is why it could have been good for them to get it. But now that Correa's in that division, that's a problem. Like you said, the Royals got all this stuff. They got Witt, and they got Salvador, and then Bobby Witt.
And they got
Witt,
Zach Greinke for who knows why.
And Whit Merrifield, exactly. That's another thing. And then the Twins, you don't know what the hell they're doing. So it's just like, it seems like they're trying to be aggressive. It seems like they're trying not to be.
And it's like the Tigers, they got Torkelson coming. Oh. They got Javi now. They got Eduardo Rodriguez. I wasn't the biggest fan, but I think he could be all right.
Yeah.
Well, I think they got some pitchers coming, too.
Yeah, I mean, they have Mize. Coming up.
They got Turnbull still. They got Scooble or whatever his name
is. Yeah, Tariq Scooble's another one of those young guys. They got a lot of good guys in the farm system, so they're coming. And they signed Javi as kind of like maybe like a year or two.
They got your guy Tucker Barnhart too.
I love Tucker Barnhart. He can't hit, but I love how he catches. And you can get a defensive catcher, not a defensive shortstop. I'm salty. It's okay. But yeah, so you're looking at that. The big one is the Cubs getting Seiya Suzuki. That kind of came out of nowhere.
I love that signing.
I woke up late one day, and I woke up and saw that, and it just turned my day around.
Yeah, I was hyped. I think he's going to be good. I don't know. You going to put a future in for Rookie of the Year?
Oh, that's a good idea. Should I?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm going to look into that.
It's like it's obviously like the analytical stuff, but it's like Zips projection were almost identical to Bryant's stats last year for hitting.
Yeah, he was like a 3 or 4 WAR, like 25 homers. He walks.
They said he doesn't swing at bad pitches. I think he walked more than he struck out or close to it.
He did, and he hit 38 tanks last year. And if you can find his highlight, he's hitting freaking nukes like out.
And he's like a 5-time Gold Glover, I believe, too. And like when he was in high school, I think he was a pitcher and he threw like 96. So he's got a hose out there.
And he loves Mike Trout. Who doesn't love Mike Trout? That's why he's 27. So he's going to make his debut on Friday. That'll be...
That's Chris Bryant's Rockies.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, Chris Bryant. That's another... I want to get into that. That'll probably be our last topic. But speaking of what the hell are they doing? Anyways, Seiya Suzuki, that's fun. 5 years. I think that contract plays into their window.
It does. I think they want to compete like genuinely next year, but I don't know. Who knows?
Carlos Correa could help you compete next year.
They could still get him.
I guess you're right. Anyways,
or they could get Trey Turner.
Anyways, and you look at the White Sox. You talked about Conforto earlier, the Blue Jays. I think the White Sox need to go get Conforto.
They have
like,
to.
Right now.
Their only like actual left-hander that's not a switch hitter is Gavin Sheets.
And he might have to play right field. He's not. I don't know if that's a good idea.
No. Their defense is not good.
No. Not even, and then Josh Harrison's a great utility guy, but like, why is he going to start every day?
And they gave
base?
Like Leori like a 3-year extension. That was like their first thing they did. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So the White Sox. I mean, I do like their bullpen. Their bullpen's nice. They signed.
They got Kelly and they got Graveman. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got Joe Kelly's going to start the year on it, and then they have Kimbrel. He had a bad outing. We'll see how that goes.
I mean, he was terrible in spring training last year for the Cubs. So
yeah, and then he was nasty during the year until he went to the White Sox. Anyways, but. And they have Liam Hendricks, who's just going to be MFing people out there on the mound.
And they still got Crochet, and they got, who else do they got?
They got Kopech's going to probably be in the rotation, and Bummer. So
Bummer's pretty good.
I like their bullpen. We'll see how it goes out.
They just need that lefty pop. That's
yeah,
what they need.
Like, that's why it's just been, go sign Conforto, Rick.
That would have been their, I thought that should have been their number one target anyways, and now he just happens to be the only one left.
Schwarb would have been good there, too.
I don't know how the defense would have been with him and Eloy.
That's also fair. Also, the Phillies lineup's pretty nasty.
I'm not sure if it's going to work because their defense is going to be awful, atrocious.
Oh, well, yeah, Nick can't really do that, yeah.
Because, like, Schwarber, like, he's gotten better.
Oh,
he's
and,
all right.
And Reese, yeah.
They got Reese. Is Didi even good or Gene Segura in the field?
I think they're fine.
It's like, I don't know. Their defense
that's
is going to be
You know what?
Horrible.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point. But when you go, what could they go? They could go Schwarb, Nick Castellanos, Bryce, Reese, Hoskins,
JT.
And then JT's there.
And then if Alec Bohm could finally break out,
and then you have JT
there.
And Gene, dude, and then you have Didi and Gene Segura. I mean, that's nasty.
And then they got like one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball in Zach Wheeler.
I'm just going to put myself out there. I thought Zach Wheeler was trash. I thought he was overrated.
So did I. I thought that contract was terrible when he signed it.
I knew he threw hard, but I'm like, he's not like big contract good. And then last year he just said, hey, Jack, shut up, man. Here's a top Cy Young finish, you know?
Then they got a top 10 Ranger Suarez, too.
I should have put that on stock down as Bill James's pitching list. My goodness, go on my Twitter. That's just a wild trip through that top five. Jacob DeGrom was fit. I'm not going to even start. Ranger Suarez, I don't even know if, like, a lot of baseball fans know who he is.
I barely knew who he was. I looked up his stats. He was pretty nasty, but he had, like, 10 starts.
He had 10 starts in 36 games. Anyways, Chris, last topic here. Chris Bryant, our pal, you know, I'm a big Chris Bryant guy. I always defended him. Congrats to him getting that $180 million contract, 6 years in Colorado. Nothing like rip on him for going to Colorado, but what are the Rockies doing, Trey? Can you tell me?
No, I can't.
Why?
They get rid of Arenado, and they unload the money just to screw the Cubs and give them to the Cardinals. And then they let Story, they don't trade Story, get nothing for him. And now they think Chris Bryant is going to make a better team.
He's going to play outfield, too.
I think they say he's going to play left, mostly. Yeah.
But, like, what the hell are you doing? You don't keep Story. If you're going to sign Chris Bryant, why don't you? Okay, I think
they might have made an offer to Story. They were willing to like do what they did, but he's like, I'm out of here. That's what I saw on Twitter.
It's fair. I mean, you saw the way they treated Arenado. And, yeah. I mean, Chris Bryant could hit like 35 pumps there.
Is he going to make it to the Hall of Fame now because he gets to hit at Coors for 7 years?
I hope so. That'd be great for my agenda that Chris Bryant's a good baseball player. But, yeah, congrats to Chris. He got his money. Rizzo going back to the Yankees.
And then Javi got the bag. Schwarber got the bag.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think those Cubs offers actually stood up with what they got. So, we can give them credit there that they didn't lie to us about that. and they were fair. The Cubs players just thought they'd get more. And then Rizzo kind of just saying like he didn't want to be a part of a rebuild after he got traded, even though he's willing to stay. I mean, they kind of just messed that up at the end.
It just would have just, I don't know, it just would have been kind of a weird situation if he came back. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we got Frank the Tank.
It was tough. One thing for the Cubs, though, is that they, I don't know if they're still in on this, the Padres, if they still want to get rid of Hosmer.
It would have to be like the Padres want to add someone else that's a big contract probably because they want to stay under the tax.
Maybe, but they're talking about doing it last year too, trading Hosmer.
Yeah, it was right at the deadline.
If that is on the table and you can get Robert Hassel, top 30 prospect in all baseball,
they have to do it.
I don't know what you're waiting for. Like, sorry, Frank. Like, I don't know. You could DH or something.
Hassel's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
And Hosmer would actually fit on this team. Even though he's like kind of peaked, I think he still smacks righties pretty well.
And they have, who do they have? Hayward and Ortega and Happ. And Haps a switch.
And they got Jonathan Villar.
Four.
And then, like, Alfonso Rivas, if you want to go that far.
Alfonso Rivas is pretty solid, actually.
He takes gloves. He doesn't have any pop, but he can get on base.
He walks. Yeah. So, I mean, we're watching baseball right now. We saw Tim Beckham hit a ball I don't think's landed yet and with a nasty bat flip.
Definitely cleared the seats.
Yeah. I think they're in Florida. But, yeah, we got a lot coming up here. Enjoy the madness. Hopefully my bets are better because then it's going to be my stock up so I can stick it back in your face next time.
I'm going to need my bracket to get back on track. Maybe we have a chance. I don't know. UCLA. Let's go.
Oh, boy. Great. Homer's Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine, though. So
yeah. Well, I only have one more game, but
whatever. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with March Madness, the Bulls, playoffs, baseball starting, a lot going on. Trey, it's fun. We'll see you in the next one.
Fun as always.
Yeah, fun as always. Yeah, I like that. Fun as always. Chi-Town Sports wrap up with the boys. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys in the next one.
See you later.
Fade to black moment.
Enough already.
It's over. Drive home safely. BB.